This is weird.
A little disclaimer first off, just to let you know something. Because of some health problems, I've been having some trouble with my throat lately, and my voice has a tendency to cut out when I talk for long periods of time. So at any time, I might start to cough and have to give this up to my buddy Dave. So, you know, please bear with me and understand that that's what's going on. With that being said, I want to also say that even though he's not here, I'd like to thank Tom for asking me to come here and share my experience, strength, and hope. It's always an honor to do to be asked to do anything in Narcotics Anonymous, especially to share my experience, strength, and hope. And it's even more so to be asked to do it at a retreat or something like that, or a convention. So, you know, Tom, wherever you are, thank you. Or I'm sorry, Bill, wherever you are, thank you. My experience with the, my wife was talking earlier, she was sharing on 6 and 7, and she was talking about reading the step working guide on the way up here. You know, being the obsessive compulsive that I am, you know, when I was asked to do this, I went out and bought one, you know, so, you know, I'm doing this research for this, you know. When I was, when I was working these steps, I don't think the step working guide was even out yet. I've been clean since May 25th of 1990, and my first sponsor was the one who walked me through the 12 steps in Narcotics Anonymous. And, you know, when I was reading this, it was a little bit more in depth. I was kind of grateful that I, you know, didn't have it at that time. I mean, this thing is like really, you know, really got to go into depth with this thing. So, you know, I was really grateful that I worked the steps when I did and how I did. And it must have worked because I'm still clean today. So that's that. I was reading a little bit about it, you know, and I was even reading some basic text this morning. And the word, and they talked about this in the 6th and 7th, is that humility word, that humble word kept popping up. And it seems like a whole lot of what's involved with the steps involves a little bit of humility, you know, and asking God for some help. You know, when I first got clean, I didn't understand a whole lot about a whole lot, but you know, it took a while for me coming here and staying clean a day at a time and keeping my mouth shut and my ears open and willingness to learn to understand the way the steps are and the order they're in and the reasons for that, you know. And, you know, the first three steps cover, you know, realizing that there is a problem and it's the problem is me. And, you know, realizing that there's a power greater than myself that I have to come to depend on, and then being willing to turn myself and my life, my will and my life over to the care of God. I used to get freaked out about that because I didn't see to the care of God. I always thought it was like, turn my will and my life over to God as I understood them. You know, was I going to have to, like, hand out Bibles down at the Coffin's Clock down in Pittsburgh, or, you know, what was going to happen with that? So, you know, and then the fourth and fifth step always dealt with taking a look back at my past and my behaviors and my reactions to situations and all of that. And then 6 and 7, you know, taught me to deal with my character defects and my shortcomings, and 8 and 9, asking an addict not to work 8 as if there were no 9 is like asking them to expect to be able to use and not suffer consequences. You know, it just didn't work out for me. You know, they seem to go together. But 8 and 9 to me is just like, you know, the beginning of cleaning up my past. You know, 4 helped me to recognize it, and 8 and 9 helped me to clean it up. And it had to deal with 8 making that list had a whole lot to do with relieving some of the guilt that I felt, you know, hurting some of the people that I hurt during my using. And it even talks in the basic text how sometimes we just think that, you know, we take the role of the victim on and think that we're the only ones that we hurt out there, and that's not the reality of it. You know, it's like I heard it said a long time ago that our using was like the whole rock in the pond effect. You know, we think where it's just affecting us, but it doesn't. It just, if when that rock makes a splash, those waves hit everything around it, and that's what addiction did. It didn't just affect me, it affected everybody that was in my life, everybody that I came into contact with. And, you know, it was always in a negative way, you know. So, excuse me, to come to that realization and then to become willing to go back and try and clean up some of that mess, you know, was a big step for me. I, you know, the whole making the list kind of thing, it says to make the list as if there were no step nine, and I tried to do that, but it's really tough to do, you know, because that fear has a tendency to creep in, and you know, you don't want to make amends to that person, so don't put them on the list. But you know, to be searching and fearless and all that stuff that we're taught in here, you know, I had to put everybody on there that I came into contact with, you know, and it's kind of. Every time I think about this step, it always reminds me of a situation. You know how when we first get clean, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I was always like real gung-ho about going out and cleaning up on the mess and, you know, apologizing to everybody and making everybody like me again and, you know, all of that crap, you know. And I came to realize, or I learned the hard way, why step 8 and 9 are way out there, you know. I made an effort to make an amends to my first wife, and she used to work at this restaurant in the town that I live in, or lived in at the time, and I only had about 6 months clean, maybe not even that much. But a friend of mine and I, you know, we were at a meeting, and we were going to go to a restaurant afterwards to get something to eat. You know how that all works out, and you know, that's where most of the recovery was anyway for me. But we walked into this restaurant, you know, and he says to me, "You sure you want to go there?" And I said, "Yeah, let's go. You know, I'd like to see, you know, my ex-wife and, you know, see how she's doing." And, you know, what I found out afterwards was that was a lie. I was really trying to find out how I was doing. And we walked into this restaurant, and she came up to us and, you know, said, "Hi, how are you?" And I just froze. I couldn't say anything. I was just overwhelmed with guilt, you know, and actually just stood there, and I don't even know how long it was. It might have been 5 seconds, it might have been, you know, 35 seconds, but my friend grabs me by the arm, he says, "Let's get out of here," you know, and we go outside, and we get in the car, and neither one of us is saying anything, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm like miles away, you know, and he says to me, "Well, did you find out what you wanted to find out?" And I said, "Well, I guess so." And I mean, that was tough. I had to rethink all that guilt, and that kicked my butt that night, you know. And I found out that night that the step 8 and 9 were out where they were supposed to be for a really good reason, you know, because I wasn't ready to give that amends. You know, I made some amends to some people, you know, and like a lot of us, you know, like I was confused on the whole what amends means, you know. I was always thought that it was just, you know, saying I'm sorry, you know, apologizing, and that's really not what it's about. It's about, that's part of it for me, you know. Part of it is saying that I'm sorry for the things that I've done in the past to hurt you, and but the second part, and I think the most important, is to not do it again, you know, not to do what you did the first, not to do what I did the first time to cause that injury, you know, and that's the hard part, you know. So when I started to make my list, you know, I started to pray a lot about, you know, who should I put on there, and like I said, I made some efforts to apologize to a lot of people early on, you know, people in my immediate family and all that stuff, and, you know, people that knew what was going on with me, you know, and the way I make amends to them today is that I stay clean. You know, I show up at Christmas time with a gift. I show up at birthday parties with a gift. You know, I show up when I say I'm going to be there, when they call and ask for my help to move or do whatever, you know, I show up for that, you know. And these are the ways that I make amends to them today for the things that I did in the past, because, you know, I didn't do that when I was using. You know, I don't know anybody that used to do that. You know, anybody that was reliable or dependable or responsible. I don't know about you guys, but I wasn't. You know, and when I got to that step and I started making that list up, you know, I had to put all those people on that list and go through and talk to them again. You know, and I'm not going to stand up here and lie to you and say I did a great eighth and ninth step. You know. I'm sure that there are a lot of people that I forgot to put on that list, and there's probably a few more that I forgot to make amends to or didn't think that belonged on the list or deserved amends or needed to be made amends to or anything like that. But the longer I stay clean and the more I keep doing what you guys tell me to do on a daily basis, the more I come to realize that there are people out there, and I run into these people. God has a tendency to, I've been real fortunate since I've been clean, man. God has been working this program for me as much as I've been working it for myself, you know, and he's found it necessary to put people in my life at strategic times when I needed them to be there for the reasons that I needed them to be there for. You know what I'm saying? And I've made amends after I moved off of those steps. I've made amends to some people that I run into or came to a realization that I did owe them, you know, that I did owe amends to. You know, when I started to work on that ninth step, you know, I did a whole lot of praying for the willingness in eight, you know, the willingness to make amends, and that wasn't easy. You know, that humility thing came into play a whole lot, you know, because pride and ego can be a real son of a gun. You know, and I had to get humble in a lot of areas with a lot of people for a lot of reasons, and it wasn't easy, you know. But it's like it says in the basic text, you know, I needed to clean up my side of the street in order for me to move on, you know. And it's funny, when I don't realize the impact or the necessity or anything about the steps until I've passed them. You know, I just been doing what you guys have been telling me to do throughout my recovery because you tell me to do it. And, you know, that's it. It's worked for me so far, and if it isn't broke, I don't try and fix it. But, you know, it takes, like, it took me to work the fourth step to realize that I needed to rework the third. You know, because I wasn't turning my will, my life over. You know, I was trying to control, writing down my behaviors and my patterns and all that stuff. And the reality of it is I wasn't giving it up to God. And that's really who guides me through all this a day at a time. So when I, you know, went to make amends to those people, it was really hard. It was humbling. It was, in some cases, humiliating. And but it was very, I can't think of a better way of putting it than to say it was cleansing, you know. I got rid of a whole lot of guilt that I was carrying around for a whole lot of time. And that's really the reasons for these steps is to get rid of some of that guilt that I've been carrying around for all those things that I did wrong. And I can actually walk up to people that I know today and my family members and friends and even people that I used with and look them straight in the eye and feel no guilt about things that I've done in the past because I've made efforts to clean up my side of that street, you know, and I've done the things that Narcotics Anonymous asks me to do through the steps of, you know, the 12 steps. And that's a good feeling, you know, and it has nothing to do with being able to hold my head up high and be proud or anything like that. It just means that I can look people in the eye today and not feel that less than, you know. I got a disease of less than, you know, and even today, you know, after being clean for 18 years, you know, my disease's first response is that I'm, you know, not good enough, not smart enough, you know, the whole, what was that guy's name on Saturday Night Live? He used to do that, he was some therapist. But anyway, it's not important. But, you know, my disease tells me those things even today. You know, it tells me that I don't deserve this, and, you know, I have to look past that, and I have to, you know, ask God to remove those thoughts. And I recognize them. Oh, what's cool about this this recovery stuff is this giving me something that I really didn't have before, and that's an awareness of the fact that I do have this disease and the ability to recognize it when it does rear its ugly head, because it does it on a regular basis. You know, I mean, there's not a day that's gone by since I've been clean that this disease didn't work on me in some form or another, whether it be front door, back door, or side window. This thing didn't try and get me to get back out into that using world. And nine times out of ten, it's because it works on my self-esteem. You know, it tries to tell me that I'm not good enough and I don't deserve this, and I'm the same old that I always was, you know, whatever that covers. And by doing what I did as far as working 8 and 9 and making those amends to those people and clearing up my side of the street and getting rid of, alleviating myself from the majority of that guilt, you know, I can do that today. I can combat the disease, because it's a lot easier, because I don't have that guilt backing it up. You know, like they said, well, you know, the disease is going to tell me that I don't deserve this and that I should be using. And, you know, it just does what it does to make me feel bad about myself, bad enough that I'm into a corner and I have no other way out but to get high. And what's cool about this is I also, another thing that I've gotten from coming here is a willingness to stay clean, and I want to stay clean more than I want to use, you know. I didn't realize that I wanted to be clean until I was like about 9 months clean, you know. I didn't come here willingly and you know, strike up the band, you know, we're going to get clean, we're going to stop using. I loved to get high, you know, and I didn't realize until I had some time clean and was living a decent life, a better life, I didn't come to that, to the realization that I wanted to stop using until that happened, you know. And when I got clean and found out that this was a better life than I'd ever had before, you know, that's when my willingness to stay clean came, you know. And I had to work for that. I had to earn that, you know. And I don't know anybody that walks in these rooms willing. You know, like I was willing not so much to stop using, but I was willing to have the landlady quit hassle me about the rent and have the gas company quit hassle me about being late with my payments and have the repo man quit taking my car and all that. I was willing for all that stuff to happen, but not to get high. I didn't want to stop getting high. But when I finally did and was able to put it down for a period of time, I came to realize this is the best thing that's ever happened to me ever. And it still is today, you know, and by working that 8th and 9th step and cleaning up that side of the street and getting rid of some of that, taking some of the ammunition away from this disease, I'm able to stay here. So it's a lot easier to stay clean than it was to get clean. You know, I don't know about you guys, but it's a lot easier for me to stay clean than it was to get clean. And by doing the things that you guys taught me and by working that step at 8th and 9th step, it's one of the things that I've done that makes it a little bit easier to stay here, because the disease is disarmed as far as the guilt's concerned, you know. And, my throat's starting to go, and I'm probably running out of things to say. You know, God was allowing me to come up here and share my experience, strength, and hope for the however long it was that I've been up here. And again, I want to thank Bill for asking me, wherever he may be, and thank you all for your attention, and that's it. Thanks.
I would like to introduce our second speaker, David Jay from Holiday Park, a group of NA in the northeast area of NA.
An addict named David. Larry's a friend of mine, so we've talked about this all before, and he got all the good stuff, and I can just talk about trivial stuff. So, you know, I got a 8 and 9.
Huh.
I was just at 6 and 7 too with Larry when his wife spoke, and another guy, and he brought cheat sheets, and these are kind of like my cheat sheets too. So I bought stuff to read so that I could back up my own thoughts on stuff, you know, like Larry says, a little insecure, not knowing, you know, but I got something that I know is right, and that's the conscience of this fellowship, and that's what's in these books. You know, I've heard it said that a lot of my thinking on 8 and 9 is sometimes outside of what other people think, and I know when Bill asked me to share, Billy and I go back a long, long way, long before anybody else in NA. I grew up, Billy and I grew up in the same neighborhood, and he started asking me about 8 and 9, and I started talking to him. He says, "Wow, maybe you want to speak on something else." I said, "I don't care," and you know, I have a way of believing about these steps, and what I believe about 8 and 9 is one word, and that's responsibility. And it's not about the easy way out. And sometimes that grates on people a little bit, and I understand that, but that's my way. And, you know, I had to come about it my way, and I will tell you also that 8th step was the only step that my sponsor put me back on, because I failed 9. How do you fail 9? And I'll tell you how I failed 9. I failed 9 by making a list, telling him I was willing, and then when one of the people that I had to go make amends to came up, I choked. In the middle, I was in this middle of this parking lot, and there's this little old lady. I mean, you know, we talked about choking. She couldn't hurt a fly if she stepped on. You must wait. She was one of my landlords. And I stole from her, and I dealt drugs out of her house, and I did all those lovely things that as using addicts we sometimes do, and I choked. And I went up, and I told Michael, and I said, you know, I just da-da-da-da, and he says, man, you lost some willingness there, didn't you, bud? And I says, yeah. And so I went back and worked 8 and 9. And, you know, I don't know about y'all, but there's some of these steps that when we come into the fellowship, we look at and we say, I'm never doing this, I'm never doing that. And I told my sponsor, I come here, I said, I have to do these, do I? And I said, all of them. He said, no, you don't have to do them all. I mean, he said, you don't have to do them, is what he told me. But as I stayed here a little longer, I decided I wanted to try maybe, you know, this one or that one. And, you know, well, we did them in order, but I had to become willing. But what scared me truthfully was 8 and 9. And I know, like Larry said too, I wanted to do some things ahead of my sponsor. What did he know? He only had, you know, 5 more years or 2 more years cleaning me. So what did he know? And I wanted to do a couple ahead of time. And I made all these plans and did a couple things, and maybe not exactly like Larry, but a lot of the things that I did backfired in my face. You know, working with a sponsor on these steps, especially ones that you have fear about, or maybe ones that you think you know it all about, is probably the best way to go about it, I've found. And you know, I got some things, and I want to read them because they sort of, they talk to me, and every time and when I do my morning meditation, I get to these days that these are on, I sort of get a belief that this is what these are about. So I'm just going to read them. This is May 23rd's reading. It says, we want to be free of our guilt, but we don't want to wish to do so at anyone else's expense. Let's face it, most of us left trails of destruction in our wakes and harmed anyone who got in our way. Some of the people we hurt most in our addiction were the people we loved the most. In an effort to purge ourselves of guilt, we feel for what we've done, we may be tempted to share with our loved ones in gruesome detail things that are better left unsaid. Such disclosures could do much to harm and may do little to good. The 9th step is not about easing our guilty consciences. It's about taking responsibilities for the wrongs we've done. In working our 8th and 9th step, we should seek guidance from our sponsor and amend our wrongs in a manner that won't cause us to owe any more amends. We are not just seeking freedom from remorse. We are seeking freedom from our defects. We never again want to inflict harm on our loved ones. One way to ensure that we do not is working the 9th step responsibly, checking our motives, and discussing with our sponsor the particular amends we plan to make before we plan to make them. This is something I didn't do. This is what I told you about. This is what I didn't do. I didn't check with my sponsor. And, you know, after I missed that amends with that little old lady who, by the way, died after that, and I never was able to make that amend, I sat down with my sponsor. And we went there and we went over the amends it had to make. And I sort of just said, look, Mike, I'm screwing this up, obviously. I can't do this. Let's talk about it. And he said to me a couple simple things. He says, what amends do you really need to make today? What amends do you feel that have to go on? And what amends aren't you that aren't really forcing, you know, aren't pressing to you? And we went over that. And that's how he laid them out to me. And that's how we began doing it. But the thing that it talks about, and what I was just talking about, is to check my motives and to check how I felt. And, you know, I guess my motives weren't real strong about making it to this old lady. I wouldn't have done it. So we sat down and we talked about the motives and talked about why I wanted to do what I wanted to do, what the wrongs were and the ones that I had to. And you know what? It just was so much more important that I finally sat down with him and went over it. I don't know why, but that gave me the juice I needed to go on. And again, I think maybe I heard this at 6 and 7, but it's real easy to get rid of the defective character that you really hate and that are really bothering you. But the ones you really like, you know, are that. And so it was really easy for me to make amends to my wife, make amends to my son, because I live with them and I really wanted to make amends. But to make amends to the guy that I ripped off, or to make amends to the kid that I jumped in and beat the shit out of in a gang fight, or to make amends to the phone company, I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to make amends for burglarizing that car dealership. Those were hard, and those were, you know, going to jail type stuff, you know, and I didn't want to do it. And I talked to my guys, you know, I sponsor a few guys and things down the road, and I really talked to them that this list is important. You know, and God bless you, if you're smart enough and you saved your fourth and fifth step, you got to jump on the list. But what's really important is the second half of that step, and that's the willingness. And finding the reasons for the willingness you've got to make. Because I want to tell them, and I want them to learn from my experience and not choke. You know, because that was the only time I had to make an amend to that little old lady. And I choked. And you know, what's funny is her nephew's in the program today, and that's a blessing. But I never got a chance to make it to that little old lady. This is another one that really speaks to what I believe that making the amends themselves are about. It says, direct and indirect amends. We make our amends to the best of our ability. The ninth step tells us to make direct amends wherever possible. Our experience tells us to follow up those direct amends with long-lasting changes in our attitudes and our behavior. That is, with indirect amends. And I hear a lot of people saying that indirect amends are this and that, but what these books are telling me is that the indirect amends are the ones, those permanent changes, like Larry was talking about, that after we quit doing things that are horrible to each other, that we start changing those behaviors that we know are the horrible things. For example, say we've broken someone's window because we were angry. Looking soulfully into the eyes of the person whose window we've broken and apologizing, that's saying I'm sorry. By the way, I was great at saying I'm sorry. I don't know how many of you were, but I was great at it. Didn't mean a damn thing to me, but I was good at it. Looking soulfully into the eyes of the person whose window we've broken and apologizing would not be sufficient. We directly amend the wrong we've done, admitting it and replacing the window. We mend what we have damaged. Then we follow up our direct amends with indirect amends. If we acted out on our anger, breaking someone's window, we examine the patterns of our behavior and our attitudes. After we repair the broken window, we seek to repair our broken attitudes as well. We try to mend our ways. We modify our behavior and make daily efforts to not act out on our anger. We make direct amends by repairing the damage we do. We make indirect amends by repairing the attitudes that cause us to do the damage in the first place, helping to ensure we won't cause further damage in the future. You know, that was difficult for me to catch in the beginning, too. I'm kind of slow with this stuff. But, you know, it took me a while to catch that. And that was the changing of the behaviors and the attitudes. I knew that, say I ripped you off, I had to pay you back or replace what I had stolen, and I knew quite truthfully for me, I still owe a couple amends, and when I do amends I've recently was fortunate enough to do it, I don't even use the word I'm sorry anymore. I just don't, because I'm really good at trying, still yet today, 53 years old, in the program 23 years, and I'm still easy trying to pull your sympathy in on it. If you sympathize with me, I got you. just like I used to get you for your $20. Oh, man, you know, I haven't eaten in a week. Come on, man. I'm really sick. Can't you see I'm yellow? You know, and I used to try and pull you in with that shit, you know? And you know what? Today I could really do this. So today I try and be real honest and be responsible for the actions I've done. And it's not about that I'm sorry. It's about that, you know, like I try and make these changes and to make those indirect changes that goes along. Making the list, again, wasn't hard for me, but it was about the willingness. And you know what? Then nine came. And like I said, I don't know if Larry touched on it, but my sponsor had me working eight for a while, but then moving me on to eight and nine. And some of them I was really pleased with. Like I said, I made one in particular I remember making. It was tough. It was to my sister-in-law. My sister-in-law was in the other fellowship, so I thought, man, I got it. I'm just going to go up, tell her I'm sorry I stole your car, and she can say, yeah, I'm in the other fellowship, I'll make it real nice. She read me the riot act. She buried me. I was hurt. Oh, man, I was struck. But you know what? Well, it's not what was good about that wasn't that she leveled me. So, I mean, she got into my face. It wasn't that she leveled me, but it's that I realized that, you know what, that this isn't just about going up to somebody and everything's going to be okay, because like I said, I made some to my son and my wife, and they said, okay, yeah, you're living right there. But this is about accepting people's response is what people's response is, and for what it really is, and accepting that I had done harm, and people don't like to be fucked with, stolen from, beat up, ripped off, run off the road, or hurt in multiple ways that we do in active addiction. And I got a taste of reality with my sister-in-law, and I didn't like it, but I got it. In nine and making amends too, there was a lot of stuff, questions. I wasn't a good guy out there in active addiction. Most where I stole, I lied, and I just didn't steal from my family. I burglarized places. I ran scams and games. I don't know that I killed anybody or anything like that, but I did a lot of illegal things. And it comes up all the time in conversations with a lot of men, and I know talking about these illegal things, well, if I tell on this, I'll go to jail, or if this happened, this is tough. This is tough shit about what to do. And I got to tell you what, I've had three different sponsors in the 22 years, 11 months that I've been clean. And I'm going to tell you what my three different sponsors have told me in all things. It's been really tough. It has weighed on me, this one burglary that I did. It was in my hometown, and I know I had a part in it, but like a lot of things that I had a part in it, I was intoxicated to a point of almost blackout halfway through, and I don't even know what my full part is, but I know that I did it, and it's really weighed on me, because this was a small car dealership I robbed, and we burglarized, but we stole a lot of stuff, cars and other things, and I have, again, from that first time when I didn't make that first amend because I was too afraid to talk to this old lady, I said, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to go to these people, offer them some money or something for the harm that I've done. And every time I've done this, all three of my sponsors, who all have had more time and years than me, said, you need to make the amends when it presents itself. You don't need to particularly go after it at this moment, but when it presents itself, you have to be willing to do that. And that's back to that eighth step again. That's back to about making that. I want to read something here that, you know, that sort of tells me that this is the right path too. And this isn't, you know, to me, Larry was talking about that step working guide, and what I want to tell you about is this was our first step book, and this was a fellowship guide, and I still yet today, I was around when this happened, I even inputted it and all this stuff, I still believe this is the best book that we have yet today to working the steps. For many of us, the wreckage of our past includes such relatively minor things as outstanding arrest warrants for traffic violations, while others committed crimes entailing very serious consequences. We may find ourselves in a dilemma over such issues. If we turn ourselves into the authorities, we may go to jail. If we don't, we may live in fear of being caught and sent to jail anyway. With the help of our sponsor and God of our understanding, we are willing to do whatever it takes to maintain our recovery. We may also have to rely on legal advice before making such amends. Consulting a lawyer about these problems can be of great benefit. Like everything else in my recovery, I want what I want, and I want it now. and I want relief from all of this, again, on your dime, on your feelings, on your behavior. So I want to go out and I want to tell these people, look, I'm this great guy. You know, 25 years ago I burglarized this place, but here's $1,000, $2,000, whatever it is. And I want to be, you know, and I want to be relieved of all this. But my sponsor says, you might be stirring up other shit that you don't know about. And when it comes, go after it. And it's conflicting to me. And sometimes I said, I want to, but I have to, you know, in times like this when I'm conflicted and when I say I believe that what the steps about has changed, is that I'm changing now. And right now I got to take somebody else's suggestion and respond to this. Hey, there's a lot of stuff because I know I'm not alone. I know that a lot of you women, a lot of you men have done illegal things. I know a lot of you got stuff hanging over your head or stuff that you know, that are back there behind you, maybe not hanging over your head. But you know, a lot of times we want to go after this and we want to make these changes. And like I said, we want to be responsible. But sometimes we've got to take direction. And I know that with this criminal thing and with all of this that my sponsor told me, and you know, I just have to become willing. I sponsored a guy who ran a numbers writing parlay. He ran it for a guy. And the guy he happened to write it for was Chucky Porter. Anybody know that name? Well, Chucky Porter was an assassin for the mob, and he stole from Chucky Porter. What do you do? But he stole from his house. He stole from his personally. And he came to me with this, and I said, so-and-so, I said, what happened? How did this work? And it did find out that he stole from the man, not the business, or from whatever he stole from. I said, you need to be willing. We were talking about 8 and 9. You need to be willing to make amends. He said, oh, no, I can't do that. He'll kill me. I said, how do you know he won't someday come into the rooms of NA and need to talk to you and need somebody to approach you about all these things? And you know what? I think what this is all about is sometimes we need to take direction and we need not to confuse things. When I told him to become willing to do these things, I didn't tell him to go to make the amends. I told him to become willing. Just like my sponsor told me that at some point you may have to become willing to amend what you've done. And I got to take direction on all this. Nine is not always easy. Again, it was real easy for me to do what I needed to do with my wife and my kids, but when it comes to the tough stuff, when it comes to the really hard stuff, it was difficult. I've had some other difficulties and troubling times in doing some of my financial amends. I'll tell you, there's some of the stuff that's still sitting there, and there's also some stuff sitting there that's on relationships that I've had to do. And my sponsors have all told me, and again, after 3 sponsors, they all told me, well, if you, a woman that I lived with for a number of years, and I wanted to immediately go tell her again, I guess, how great I was, and that I was clean, I wasn't ripping and robbing, I wouldn't steal from her no more, or anything like that, and they told me, stay away. If it happens someday you see her and you come to it, be willing to make those amends. But, again, that's what I lost out in 8 so many years ago, 20 years ago, was the willingness. And a lot of times, willingness is what brings in change. Whether it's willing to make amends to an 80-year-old lady in a parking lot, or whether it's willing to have to go the distance and do what you have to do in a troubling legal situation. Willingness is what 8 to me was all about, and 9 was the action on those willingness and taking direction. Because heaven knows, if it had been me that had been giving me direction on these steps, I probably wouldn't have made a dozen of them, and I might be in jail. I don't know. I don't know what the world has to bring. I know that I became willing to do something, but I didn't have all the paperwork on it. I didn't have all the information. And I know that that's why we work with sponsors. And it's so important at this time in my life to work with a sponsor and to take direction, and as it was back then. 8 and 9 is no walk in the park. And I struggle. I still have, you know, like I guess I worked on this step when I was about 3 or 4 years clean, and I still have a couple of them I need to make. I'm still sitting on top of them. I know that one that was difficult for me, and I never got some real closure on, was the amends to my mother and father. My mother and father both passed before I got clean. But I felt there was things that needed to be amended. So my sponsor at that time told me to write down what I felt that I needed to say to them. And I went to their grave, and I just read it. And man, I was a blubbering idiot. It was a real good cry, man. I got to tell you what, it was a real good cry making those amends. It was one of them really deep cries, you know, where the snot blows out of your nose and you're just really whining away there. That was a deep cry at the grave of my father and my mother. And you know, I sometimes feel that, you know, that there's more to do there. And I guess it's probably because I wish for other things or wish it could have been a different way. But that isn't how, that isn't what Larry was talking about the reality of it. You know, you come to a point where you get to know the reality of situations for what they really are. And that's what I needed to do. So there's a whole lot of direction, a whole lot of action. Because step 9, step 8, both are such action steps, you know, that need to be made. From the ones that you make at the grave to those difficult legal ones to the ones that you walk away from. This just hasn't been a simple journey for me. It's been a really complicated. And again, once I start taking control, then I stop going to the graveside because that was difficult. I stop making amends to old ladies, and I stop telling people that, hey, I was illegal. I spent time in jail. I did things that were wrong. I was a con. I was a burglar. I was a thief. I was a robber. And I start taking things into my own hands again. And, you know, 8 and 9 are about changing direction. They're about changing direction and not doing a thing. You know what? I've been doing that pretty fair, to be honest with you. I've been doing pretty fair not doing the old stuff. But you know what I found out about? I found about new stuff. I had a lot of ego and arrogance and pride out there in the bag. It's hard to imagine somebody that was as stupid and as cowardly and as rotten as I was to have those other traits, but I did. I had a lot of arrogance out there in the bag. And I believe certain things I just wouldn't do or couldn't do or whatever. And God has given me a little bit of an awakening from time to time that even clean, I can end up doing things that I thought maybe beneath me, below me, or that I just wouldn't do. And I've had to make amends for things clean. Hell, I was 10 years clean. I wound up in jail again. And, you know, it wasn't for using, but, at 10 years clean, you don't hope to end up in jail. It was for disobeying all those things and, like, signs on the street about having licenses, but, you know, all those little things, you know. And I don't follow orders real well either, and that, because I think, again, I think I know better, and that arrogance comes up and causes me trouble. But those changes that we learn in 9 have to be the beginning of the pattern. You know, they have to not only be the changes that you've made to stop the stealing, stop the hitting, stop the lying, stop the cons and the gains and the manipulating, but it has to be about the changes in your life. And you know, when we go and we have to, I try and do the 10th step. I try and be smart enough to be quick and say I'm sorry, you know, so it doesn't become 9. But, you know, there's some things that I just will let stew and boil up in there, and, you know, and I'll think, maybe I'll even have that arrogance and pride to think that I'm right, you know, and that's the worst kind of righteous resentment and righteous pride is the worst. You know, when I still got some of that, and I've got to learn that the changes that the steps bring about just aren't in the areas that we believe they are at the time, but they have to be areas of our whole lives. And that, you know, we have to learn. I didn't want anything that I brought into the fellowship, so I had to relearn everything. And that's what you taught me. And relearning everything means that sometimes it's not just about what's right in front of your face, but there's other things that are coming around. And I have to relearn that today because I'm still doing actions today that I feel that are going to cause me to have to make amends down the road. Certainly not perfect, and I've been here a couple days. But I learn, and I come, and I speak, and, you know, sometimes through talking to you, somebody's home group, sometimes you get some of your stuff out and you start realizing that, hey, I need to make some changes and to take some steps to better myself. And that's what this program's all about. Thanks.